And on August 24th, 1992, Hurricane Andrew struck the Florida coast. In about 7 weeks, the U.S. and the countries of the Gulf of Mexico will remember the 25th anniversary of one of the biggest hurricanes we have ever experienced, the third strongest to hit our country in the 20th century. Hurricane Andrew was a Category 5 storm, with wind speeds up to 175 miles an hour, storm tides of nearly 17 feet in some places. The damage from Hurricane Andrew in Florida alone was about $26.5 billion. 1.4 million people lost electricity and 150,000 lost home service. 3,300 miles of power lines were destroyed. 3,000 water mains, 59 health facilities, 31 public schools, 32,900 acres of farmland, 82,000 businesses, all destroyed. There were massive evacuations. In South Florida, 55,000 left the Florida Keys, 517,000 abandoned Miami-Dade County, 300,000 left Broward County, and 315,000 fled from Palm Beach County. Hurricane Andrew destroyed 25,524 homes and destroyed another 101,241. In Dade County, 160,000 residents became temporarily homeless. The nationwide total death toll from Hurricane Andrew was 26 lives lost. Yet what is interesting to me is that more people lost their lives after Hurricane Andrew was over. 40 more people died as an indirect result from the storm. Does that surprise you? It surprised me when I first heard this. So I started thinking about it. Maybe from a contaminated water supply, infection, maybe they were severely hurt during the storm. And some of them were. Yeah, some of them sustained damages during the storm. Some of them did get infected from water or injuries. But most of those 40 people who died after the storm died because of car accidents. And that really surprised me. Car accidents? More people died in car accidents trying to go home after the storm was over than died during this massive storm. And that's insane. So I did a little more research. I did a little more digging. I talked to someone who told this story to me. Do you know why more people died in car accidents? What is that yourself? What you do? More people died in car accidents because 9,500 traffic signs and signals were destroyed. So think about this. People did not know where they were going. They could not find their homes because there were no street signs. And you're probably thinking, well, I could find my home without street signs. And yeah, that's what they thought too. But when every house in your neighborhood is gone, when every tree that you used as a landmark is gone too, it suddenly becomes very hard to even tell what street you're on. When there are no lights to tell you to stop, no sign to tell you that you are going the wrong way, no warning that a bridge is out, nothing to tell you that you are driving too fast, a lot of accidents happen. Ladies and gentlemen, as smart as we think we are, as talented as we think we are, and as strong as we think we are, we still need guidance. Hurricane Andrew took away the signs, and suddenly no one knew where they were supposed to go. The signs were gone, and suddenly no one knew how to drive safely, and the journey became much more dangerous. Brothers and sisters, we are on a journey, and someone is trying to knock down our signs. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. So you see, God is calling us on a journey of faith with Him. From the beginning of creation, God has given us signs to help us along our journey, signs that keep us safe, signs that show us the way. But Ephesians 6 shows us that there is someone or something that is working against us and against God, a cosmic power, a spiritual force of evil, and we are powerless to stop them. So I've got some of my students here. Why don't you guys get over, and we'll come over here with me. It's okay, he's not driving yet, so Mom, Dad, you'll have a little time to help him figure out how to read those things. So I asked some of my students, to come up and help me illustrate this a little bit. Hopefully y'all can all see with the podium here. Someone is driving, so we got Will here driving. Now, you're not driving yet, as far as I know. But you have probably a basic understanding of how to drive safely and where to go, partly because you have all these signs, right? But Ephesians 6 tells us that this cosmic power, this spiritual force of evil, is coming ahead of you and is knocking down signs. So you got this cosmic force that you can't control, and it's coming down and knocking down signs. And knock down your sign, you can just have a seat. It goes up there. So it's coming ahead of you, knocking down these signs, the spiritual force of evil. And that makes things difficult for you. And you see, church, when we pray this prayer, deliver us from evil, we acknowledge that there is an evil power that is beyond us. When we pray that God will lead us not into temptation, we are asking that He would not make us vulnerable to this evil, an evil that is stronger than us. And Paul writes in Romans, there's not just some evil out in the heavens that we have to worry about. Let's see. Romans chapter 7, if you'll help me keep up with these slides. It says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I won't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind, and this power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. That's a confusing scripture, really. It's kind of a tongue twister. Leo did a great job with it, by the way. It's all hard one, so I had to practice that one several times this week. It's confusing because it keeps going back and forth. You can tell he's really struggling with something. What Paul is basically saying is that he realizes that this evil is not just out there, but it's in here. It's within him. And it has infiltrated him, and it's snuck into my life, and it's snuck into your life too. Paul says that alone, he is not strong enough to beat it. Even though he wants to do the right thing with all of his heart, he messes up. Even though he wants to follow the signs, he keeps ignoring them. And really, he doesn't just ignore them. The evil that is inside him causes him to pull his car over and tear the signs down himself. So why don't you just knock those signs down? There you go. Good job. Right, you can just hang out for a second. I don't know if y'all can squeeze him on there. You can take a seat on the stairs for a second. So when we let sin control our lives, we get tired of seeing signs that tell us to stop. Signs that tell us that there is danger ahead. Signs that tell us we need to turn around. So we tear them down. Is it in your power whether or not you follow these signs? You get to decide when you're driving down the road whether or not you obey these signs or not, right? It's in your control. Right. Even though you can clearly see those signs, you can choose whether or not to obey them. And if you decide not to obey them, there may or may not be consequences. you might get pulled over, you might be in a car accident, or you might get to where you're going just fine. It is in your power to ignore those signs, to tear them down, but you cannot put them back up, not by yourself. And so Romans 7 continues by saying, "Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. So you see, when we pray this prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," we acknowledge our own powerlessness to the cosmic evil that is in the heavens and that is also within us. However, we also acknowledge, by praying this prayer, that God has defeated this evil. We acknowledge that He can, in fact, save us from this evil and that He can help us. And that's why James says that we can count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and that steadfastness has its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Jesus teaches us to pray for deliverance from temptations and trials and evil. Christians never pray to be tested. We never ask to be tested. That would be foolish. We pray for deliverance. However, James says that we can actually be glad when we face trials, temptations, and evil. We are not glad because it is easy, but because we know that God can and will deliver us. Whatever evil we face, Jesus has already faced and defeated it once and for all on the cross. So we know that we can defeat it too with His help. James even tells us how Jesus helps us. "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." James says that if you find yourself lost, and you don't know where you're supposed to go or how you're supposed to get there safely, all you have to do is ask God, and He will start putting His signs back up for you, something you can't do yourself. We know we need them. As annoying as it is to follow them, because I'll be honest with you, I don't like yielding to pedestrians. Let's see. Here we go. You know we need them. I don't like yielding to pedestrians. I don't like coming to a complete stop when I'm in South Pittsburgh and there's no other cars at the intersection. 25-mile-an-hour speed limits are so hard for me to follow. I don't even have to touch the gas on my car for my car to go that fast. One-way streets are confusing and annoying. I never look forward to those. But I know, as annoying as they are and as frustrating as they are sometimes, I know that I need these signs in my life. I know that all those signs keep me on the right path and they keep me safe. As much as I think I don't need them sometimes, I'm reminded by stories like Hurricane Andrew how much I need those in my life, or I will be lost. I will be in danger. James says that if you have faith, God is very generous. God is excited to come to your aid. He finds you where you are on the road, and He starts putting signs back up. The signs that you watched as they were torn down by this cosmic evil. Even the signs that you tore down yourself. God comes along and He starts putting them back up. He starts reminding you of scriptures that will encourage you and tell you, hey, you need to watch where you're going. You might need to watch out for what's coming. He starts putting people in your life who love you and say, you need to slow down a little bit, or you need to speed up a little bit. He moves His Spirit inside of you to guide you, to nudge you when you need to stop and when you need to go. He warns you when you need to stop or slow down because you're going down the wrong path. All of this because you invited Him to. I want you guys to have a seat. Can we give them a hand for volunteering this morning? Thank you guys. Y'all can just drop those. Just drop them wherever. But I'll get them. Thank you guys. Here's another problem, though. Some signs are more helpful than others. Yeah, there you go. Some signs are more helpful than others. We laugh, but you know it's true. You can go ahead and go to the next one, too. We laugh because you know it's true. Some signs are more helpful than others. Go ahead and go to, I think I got a couple more of these. Here you go. Some signs are just confusing and frustrating. They don't really seem to help. I don't know where this sign is. I like how someone put that good luck on there. Stop. No stopping at any time. Which is it? I don't know. This is not the way. Thank you very much. Some signs are more helpful than others. And they just keep coming. The spiritual force of evil that we talked about earlier, the same cosmic evil, the evil that Jesus does not even honor by mentioning by name in his prayer, this evil knows that God is putting up signs back in our lives. And if tearing down God's signs doesn't work, this evil one will start putting up his own signs. And some signs are more helpful than others. The evil one will put up signs of his own to try and misdirect us, to distract us. We have to be able to recognize the wrong signs when we see them. It is the wisdom that God gives us, this wisdom that James wrote about, that will help us discern the true signs from the fake. This continues on in James. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. When your temptation comes, it is not from God. He may allow it. He allowed Jesus to be tempted in the desert. He allowed Job to be tempted. But it does not come directly from God. And so when we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we sign up for the struggle. We recognize by praying the Lord's Prayer that our faith may be tested. He may allow us to battle and struggle, but he will not tempt us more than we can bear. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure. This prayer of Jesus, this Lord's Prayer, is our way out. By letting the Spirit into our heart, into our soul, into our mind, we defeat temptation and evil in our life. Jesus defeated evil once and for all on the cross. The war that we have been trying to fight on our own is won. The war that the evil one wants us to believe that we can still lose is over. Jesus defeated evil then, and he defeats evil now in your life. He is with you. Romans chapter 8 says this, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long, we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. know in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from Jesus Christ our Savior. Isn't that exciting? Even though the cosmic evil is like a Category 5 hurricane to us, we will weather it. It may not be easy, but we will make it through because of Jesus. He is on our side. And if He is on our side, there is no temptation, there is no evil that we cannot withstand. He takes away any excuse that we have to keep on sinning. 1 Peter says in chapter 4 that we can celebrate when temptation and struggles come. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. Peter says that we can expect these bad things to happen. And we say a prayer that says, deliver us from evil, we are really kind of asking for it. The evil one hears that as a challenge. We expect the battle to come, but we do not fear. We have confidence in Christ. Our faith gives us a swagger that nothing else could give. We look evil in the face and we do not flinch because we know that God has our back. We rejoice, we celebrate, because we know that He will defeat the evil and glory will go to Him. Some of you need to stop living in fear today and learn to be able to celebrate and be glad in the face of struggles. I don't know what each of you are going through, but Jesus offers you a chance to join Him in His victory against evil. The Holy Spirit desires to dwell inside of you. The same Spirit that gave Jesus the power to survive a life of trials and temptation, that same power is offered to you today. Some of you have been tearing down signs in your life. You are lost and you don't know where you are going or how to get there safely. And you need to ask God and the church to help you put the signs back up in your life. Some of you need to step up and be willing to walk alongside your brothers and sisters and children in the way. You need to be willing to put up signs in their life. And so whatever it is that you need this morning, if you need prayers, if you need this morning, we invite you to do that now as we stand and we sing today.